can step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Off Stage and On the Air. Performance number 440. I am Lisa Sheps. I am joined by Nicole Shiro. Nicolone.
Wolfie Mayo.
You might see her on the Nicolone channel.
Nicolone, Nicolone.
You're listening to us on KOOP, HD1, HD3, Hornsby, and we're streaming live at koop.org. We will be right back.
Hurry, hurry, step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Yeah. Step right up. Feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh, yeah.
Banker at the feast. It is Wednesday, November 22nd, 2017. On the show today, we are joined by our special guest, senior digital reporter for InsideEdition.com and Broadway feature contributor for ET Online, Lee Sheps. Yes, you heard that right. Later on in the show, we will have Austin Shakespeare and Much Ado About Nothing. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in Austin, New York, Chicago, London, anywhere else, Boise, and Lithuania. We'll be right back. Actually, we're not going anywhere. We just timed that perfectly.
Like, that was some perfect music.
I know. I know.
Why you get paid the big bucks,
that
Lisa?
That is why I get paid the big bucks.
Why you get paid the big bucks.
I totally spaced on my list of cities.
Well, we can be.
I thought you might say Hoboken.
I should have said Hoboken. Yeah, I was actually thinking of New Jersey City, and I did not go there. So let me very first thank Kim Simpson. What a great show this time. And let me just tell you something, Nicole Shiro.
What?
I think that because Kim has been on the air with International Folk Bazaar for a long time, I have a feeling that bar started really, really low back then because... It just keeps getting higher and higher.
I don't know
how he does it.
I love his shows, and I know I say it every week, but they make me happy.
Me too.
Yeah.
Me too. Moi aussi.
Yes.
That's French.
Moi aussi.
French. So
oui.
I'm checking in with you. How are you?
I'm here.
You're here. Your back is not feeling well.
No, my back. My back is really.
Well, let's get all
me.
Those listeners out there in the theater community, like, send you really good back
just
energy.
Jazz hands.
Jazz hands for Nicole's
jazz
back.
Jazz hands for back relief.
Oh. Yep, we need that. So let's introduce the folks that are here with us. We have a small house.
We have
today,
a small
which is,
house,
which is really
but
nice.
They're small but mighty.
They're small but mighty.
Small but mighty.
We have the incomparable.
Speaking of Hoboken,
co-host Miss Ann Ciclella. Hi.
Hi, thanks for
having
me.
Chicky Chicky Boom Boom is back in the house.
We are also joined by Karina Browning.
Hi.
Hey, how are you? So, well. Karina, I'm going to ask you to take that microphone and put it really close to you. And
Chiclella,
I'm going to ask you to throw on some headphones, please, because it's really important to have headphones every now and then. So can you hear me through those headphones?
My God, you sound so sexy.
Excellent. So here, this is for you.
Happy birthday to you.
Because you are such a large personality, there's at least two of you.
Well, thank you so much, Lisa. Was that you hitting that high note?
That was me.
You're getting used to
I haven't seen her for days. She's been at home practicing.
That was, of course, from Sideshow. That's why it was a happy birthday for you and for you. And I gave that.
That was for me.
Yeah.
You know that Emily and that Alice are doing a show together right now.
Really?
They're doing their cabaret.
They've been doing that for quite a while. So it is your birthday, so happy birthday.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Feliz cumpleaños, as we say in Paris.
No, in Paris you say bon anniversaire.
No, I speak Spanish in Paris.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
So if I was in Mexico, I would say bon anniversaire.
No, that's I speak German in Mexico.
Oh.
Yeah, it's
how
a very
do you say
confusing.
Happy birthday in German?
Yeah, I got some
I don't
card
know.
Somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel bad that I don't know that.
So our first song was a feast song. There are not very good. There are not many good Broadway Thanksgiving songs.
Huh.
There are songs that mention giving thanks, but no, like not nothing
no,
about the holiday
you know
of
what?
Thanksgiving.
I think I went through this once you were gone, and I was trying to make music, and I think I've had this conundrum.
And we will be going out with, of course, Turkey Lurkey Time, but that's really a Christmas song.
It's all right.
But, you know.
But you know, it is that holiday time, and I know my favorite song gets to come on the on the end of the repertoire right now, so that's exciting.
It's going to happen. So we had two, we lost two entertainers this week.
Yeah.
David Cassidy just died yesterday or today. He's been terminally ill for a while, and he did Blood Brothers.
He did a Joseph. Lot on Broadway.
He did about four or five. So pretty much considering who is, who, you know. So
what was the other one with the pair? I love the name of the one play he did. I was like, what is this show? I don't know. It was something, the pair and the something something. And I was like, this sounds fascinating.
James and the Giant Pear?
No, it wasn't. But wouldn't that be kind of cool?
I think so. And then Della Reese, who
Della Reese,
she passed
away.
How
many people don't know about her anymore?
Sad.
You know, that's one of the good things when somebody passes, is they get into the news for a minute, and more people get to know who they are.
Yep,
the history. That's true.
Yeah, true. So, rest in peace, both of them. We will hear a little piece from Blood Brothers of David and Sean Cassidy singing together from Blood Brothers.
That's a throwback.
Yep. So that's that. The other thing that I found sort of cool is that I'm gonna say Stephen Schwartz, and I hope I'm right, did a piece, a new song that is benefiting bullying. It's about bullying. Did I say Stephen Schwartz?
Mm-hmm.
I was right. Yay for me!
Well, it's probably benefiting anti-bullying.
So, but it's very interesting. This is
no, it's bullying. We need more of it, Ann Chikalella. What's wrong with you? Bullying, drugs. Just give it to everyone.
So anyway, he went on to the It Gets Better project from the Trevor project. The It Gets Better project from the Trevor project.
Yeah.
That sounds weird, but that's what it was.
It needs a ditty behind it when you say it.
Well, and here's
some music.
And here's the ditty. This is a little piece. It's not the most uplifting thing, but it's the words, the lyrics are taken directly from interviews with people that have put things on the It Gets
That's
Better.
That's interesting.
So let's listen to just a little bit of it, not the whole thing.
When they find out no one will love me, I'll lose my family and all of my friends.
When they find out no one will love me, I'll lose my family.
It's really quite poignant, especially at one point the lyrics go, I pray every night that God will kill me in the night. And then it gets a little bit more uplifting talking about it gets better. But that is sung by the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus and their Essential Voices USA. So I just thought that's interesting. It is. It benefits anti-bullying workshops. It's available on iTunes and looks really nice.
Yeah, I like that Stephen Schwartz.
He's gonna make it somewhere.
He may make it. I know.
So we had a couple of openings. One is John Leguizamo. I have a hard time pronouncing his name.
Do you really?
Yeah, I have a hard time. I don't know why. And Latin History for Morons. Are y'all John Leguizamo?
I do like him.
John Leguizamo.
I saw Ghetto Clown, and now I can't remember what I didn't like about it, but I didn't like it when it was here, and he got praised for it, but he typically does one-man shows. He did Ghetto Clown, and what was that, the first one he did that started the whole thing?
I forgot. I was he's written a few. I forget the name.
It's in here somewhere, but the reviews were okay, for the most part, pretty good, and not great, but one of the podcasts I listened to, I found it interesting, and I did notice this also when I saw him play at the Paramount. He attracts an interesting audience. It's not a Broadway style audience. These are, you know, concert goers and comedian watchers, and they are used to not sitting quietly. They're not even used to sitting. They're up and down. It was amazing. I've never seen anything like it. And one of the podcasts I listened to, boy, berated the audience about being disrespectful. And that's not what the deal is when you go see
him. I bet he was fine with it.
No, I was like, that's...
He wanted it. Actually, they told a story of him somewhere where everybody was being very quiet, and then somebody somewhere in the middle started saying something. He said, oh, thank God you're there. I thought y'all were dead.
Yeah, I was about to say, he talks about that very openly, that the quiet, he doesn't know what to do with the quiet.
Right.
Which is interesting. Yeah.
So the subject matter of this is a man trying to tell his kids what the what's difficult about being a Latino in this country. And
He workshopped this a while back, and we spoke about it. And we were all like, this is going to be interesting. And now I can't remember where it was.
Was it in Manhattan?
It may have been, but
I would be a normal.
Yeah. I don't know.
So. So anyway, Jesse Green wasn't really crazy about it. Interestingly enough, Jesse Green knocked him for not being serious enough at times. He made light of everything and didn't like punch the things hard enough. For instance, let me see if I can find if I notated this. It's just the...
To me, that would seem like that's a choice.
Oh, it's definitely a choice. And that's why he knocked him for it.
Yeah.
So he wasn't really, really crazy about it. The last line of the...
So give Jesse Green a punch, should you be doing a show, people.
There you go. He says, Latin history for morons would be richer if he didn't try so hard to make something so awful so funny. So.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And where is he doing it?
He is doing it in New York at Studio 54. Broadway, as we call it.
Broadway,
how great you are. We also had encores. It's come and gone already, but Brigadoon.
Yeah.
Brigadoon.
Listen, so, that review was pretty spectacular.
Yeah, the show's not.
But I mean, the well, no, is the Kelly O'Hara comment of she was Spartan was like she was so clean and so simple. Really?
A love letter to Kelly O'Hara.
Yeah,
I love me some Meg Brockie. She's awesome sauce. I don't like that show.
It's
not many people do.
On a chalkboard. I've tried being in it. My mom, every time I'm in it, I'm miserable. And my mother's like, "Why are you doing that show? You hate it." I'm like, "I don't know. I actually." The last time I was in it was in New York City, and I quit because I was like, I
well,
hate
that's
this show.
Responsible.
I've never done it, but I literally, that was not fair after sitting in three rehearsals. I'm like, why am I here? I don't.
Karina, what do you think of the show?
Well, I've sung duets and solos from it before, and it's perfectly pretty.
The music is gorgeous.
The music is beautiful.
And so I've never been in it, but it's never been one that's particularly caught my eye. But I haven't seen enough of it, I don't think, to make a sure decision yet.
I just want to...
Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to just look at people and go, I'll save you, laddie.
I don't hate it. But they also... Asif Manvi and Stephanie J. Block were in it. Love both of those. And Asif Manvi has really sort of taken off. So I think that's pretty cool, but it could be also different than the normal encores. It wasn't strictly a concert performance. There were no scripts in hand this time. It was pretty well produced, but only for 1 week, and it was a fundraiser, and they raised, hold on, I did underline this.
It was a
this.
Lot of moolah.
They raised $1.9 million for City Center.
Not so bad.
Directed and choreographed by Christopher Wheeldon. And the last, so here's for extra points. When was it last revived, major revival in New York? I'll give you a hint. It was done by City Opera.
I think it was like 70s or
60s.
It was 70s, a while. Yeah, 70s? It's been decades.
No, 70s? No guess? 70s. No, you're all wrong. Thank you for playing.
1996. No!
really?
Yeah, see, what we don't know about City
see?
Opera.
No, well, it's Brigadoon. Well, I wasn't paying attention. I was like, no, thank you.
Okay. The other thing I want to talk about was not a New York opening, but a Washington, D.C. opening in advance of a New York opening, and that is Mean Girls.
Oh, yes.
Opened in D.C. two nights ago. And
I believe so.
Yeah, so no New York papers made the 4-hour trip to, or 2-hour, 4-hour, 2-hour, 2-hour
well,
trip.
Well, if you go on that fancy fast train, yeah, the it's fancy not fast that train. Long.
It's not bad at all, but they didn't do it. So the only national magazine I found that reviewed it was Variety.
I was like, I saw Variety.
Heard of that. Strong performances, engaging numbers, and eye-popping visuals. Evidently, they use their LED screens very well.
Which seems perfect for Mean Girls. I think that's awesome.
I've seen it once and I don't remember it at all. The actresses.
You don't remember the one in Spider-Man? Turn off the dark? Because that was at
no,
that time.
We're talking about Mean
the
Girls.
World's largest LED screen.
We're talking Mean Girls. I said, I haven't
seen it. I thought you were talking
about the screen. No.
No, I saw Spider-Man Turn Off the
big.
Dark.
Big.
Actually, Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark had several screens. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Erica Henningsen. It's a largely unknown cast. Ashley Parks, Taylor Lauterman, and Kate Rockwell are the girls in it. And all in all, decent reviews. Still have to do a little bit of work
before it
gets to New York on April 8th, I believe.
I believe.
Yeah. So Casey Nicola, director, choreographer.
Excited. There you go.
I like me some Casey Nicola.
I know.
So, actually, I do need to talk about this in our last 4 minutes. So real quickly, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is closing.
I saw Heartbreak.
305 performances.
Yeah. That's a pretty good run.
Considering the notices were terrible.
Yeah, we didn't think it was, you know.
But I have to talk about this. So
you're excited about Pretty Women being cast?
No.
I was being
I have to talk about this. So we've talked about Masterpiece Theater. I've been doing Broadway stuff. And we had last week was Indecent. It was the filming of Paula Vogel's Indecent. And let me tell you something. It was. Has anybody seen it? Did anybody see it?
I saved it to watch this weekend.
It is amazing. Rebecca Teichler, the director. I can't remember. I didn't bring any notes with me on this. She won the Tony for Best Direction. Deserved it. Mm. And what's her name? The lead role. Shoot.
Oh.
Also in The Band's Visit.
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I can see her
anyway,
right now.
Marvelous. Oh. Richard Topol was in it. Son of Topol. Hmm. He played the one actor who was one character throughout. It's just directorially, and they also won for best lighting. And this is okay. This is I'm talking to all you lighting designers
TV
out
too,
there.
What? How did lighting translate
beautiful.
In film?
It was beautiful. And I'm talking to all you lighting designers out there. I get really upset when lighting designers call attention to themselves. And instead of servicing the piece, they throw smoke out there so we can see their lights for no reason. It just bugs me to death.
I know.
This was beautiful lighting. It was gorgeous lighting. You noticed it if you were looking for it, and it absolutely served the piece. So beautiful. They used projections in a really great way, but hats off to the direction.
Thank you for bringing it up. It's amazing.
And the story is incredible. So if you get a chance to see it, Indecent, it is there. Next week is Holiday Inn.
Yes.
Wow.
And they just did, the Holiday Inn was in the theaters like last Thursday. Yes. And then now they're going to, that's this Friday.
So I have to play this. I was going to bring this in. So one of my cherished childhood albums was one of the Unbreakable albums, 33 and a third of Holiday Inn.
Uh-huh.
They're like brittle as hell and they break very easily. So I recorded this from Holiday Inn from my turntable that I recorded today.
Be careful. It's my heart. It's not my watch.
I just love the crackly of
the crackly of it. I know. I have some that I love.
And this is such a beautiful song, and it's a wonderful movie, although racist, very racist. But
isn't it awful when you watch these movies that you love so much and you haven't seen them in a while, and then you watch it and you're like, oh, because I've had a few of those moments lately, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah, it's like when you look at, you know, you've got, there's a whole number called Abraham that Bing Crosby does in blackface that is just R-O-N-G wrong on so many levels.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So, and then if I, as I was listening to that song, he mimics Eubonics, if you will, on the, that's just awful. But can't wait to see it. So next Friday, Holiday Inn. I also watched the movie The Band's Visit, which was on cable this week.
Oh, you actually watched the movie?
The original movie. Yep. Very lovely story. It's, as I look at it and I think, oh, I should say Indecent, play with music. The music is incredible in Indecent. Incredible. So I can't say enough good things about it. Band's Visit, it's an interesting watch. It's a short movie. I'd say it's 90 minutes. Very understated, simple. Everything they've been saying about The Band's Visit, the show, the movie does the
same
thing.
I so want to see it.
Yeah.
So
we have to get moving. So I'm just going to do two more things before we take a break. Ben Platt gone from Dear Evan Hansen. Noah Galvin has taken over. And I've been listening to the soundtrack a lot today. And he was just so amazing in that. And did you see? Have you seen it?
I've listened to it though.
Yeah, I saw him do it. It was amazing. So he's gone, and now Noah Galvin comes in. The other thing that's going to really just destroy everybody is Shame of Thrones, the rock musical, is closing on November 26th.
I saw that, and I was like, oh.
Yeah.
But so, you know what? They have to make room for Bat Out of Hell, the Meatloaf musical.
They do. So here we go. We're going to take a little break. We're going to listen to Tell Me It's Not True from Blood Brothers. It's a rather poignant song sung by the Cassidy Brothers. We'll be right back.
Tell me it's not true.
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with me, Lisa Sheps, and you...
Nicole Solo.
Nicole Shiro, who's here solo. Nick Mayo is very busy directing Drowsy Chaperone, which we're going to talk about in just a second. Well, not just a second, just a few minutes.
Later today.
We've also been talking with Ann Ciccolella and Karina Browning. And right now we're going to introduce our very, very special guest.
It's your long-lost relative.
It's my long-lost doppelganging relative. Interestingly, I was reading from the Broadway briefing, and I forgot which article it was, but in there it's talking about an article that, and I forgot exactly which one I was reading, but it was written by Lee Sheps, spelled exactly the way I spell my name. And I went, oh my God, I have to contact this person because they spell their name the same way I spell our name, and that gotta mean they're related. She's in New York and she's a Broadway person, right?
Exactly.
Well, hold on. I haven't introduced you yet.
Oh, sorry.
Okay, but I'm just about to. Anyway, she is the senior digital reporter for InsideEdition.com and Broadway feature contributor for ET Online and my long-lost sister from another mister, Lee Sheps. Hi, Lee.
Hello, Lisa Sheps. Same spelling.
I was so thrilled to see your stuff, and I watched a whole bunch of your interviews. You have such a wonderful style, and you know Broadway, that's for damn sure, and you have talked to some amazing people.
I have. Actually, an article just went up live this morning. I interviewed Jason Mraz last week because he's doing a special 10-week limited run in Waitress, the musical.
Yes,
so
I saw that.
Here in New York. And it was so interesting because one of the things he talked about was how Broadway, for him, at least in this role, is much less grueling than it is being on tour and going on a bus and going from city to city and trying to figure out his day-to-day before doing a three-hour concert every night.
Yeah, well,
I guess Broadway.
True. That's how long is he going to be in it?
10 weeks. 10 weeks. I think
Nicole knew.
January. Yeah, through the new year.
Awesome. Well, also, so the other thing, the other benefit of doing research on you is you taught me the correct spelling of Homedale. I always thought it was Homedale, and it's not.
Do you know Homedale, New Jersey?
I do. And Nicole, who's from the shore.
So is Ann. We've got two Jersey girls in the room today.
And Ann is from the shore.
Today, so.
What?
I'm from
Hoboken. She's from Hoboken.
She's from Hoboken.
Oh, I moved to the...
Oh, my gosh. Hoboken. Well, that's where I'm from, Hoboken. Homeville to Hoboken.
And you've performed at the Count Basie Auditorium.
Oh, my gosh. You did your research.
I was a... I was a theater manager of the Count Basie Auditorium for a very short while.
Oh, my gosh. I did not know that. That's amazing. I've done a few shows at Count Basie. It's a wonderful theater.
It is a wonderful theater.
It's a great place.
Theater productions that they put on over there.
Although the stuff I did, it was basically used as a roadhouse. We did a whole bunch of concerts. So tell folks, I gave folks your titles. What is it exactly? You're a journalist, clearly.
Yes, I'm a news reporter, and I started my career in the Bronx working for News 12 as a local one-man band reporter, meaning I go out on the street and I do everything myself. I shoot the stories, I edit the stories, I write all the stories with all big camera gear. And I did that for quite a few years. I went to Binghamton, I went to Fort Myers, I worked in Philly, I worked in New Jersey. So I've made my way to national news, and now I'm reporting for InsideEdition.com, and I'm the senior digital reporter. So what I do is I turn the biggest stories of the day and I do a web-only news story on it. And so today, obviously, is a lot of Thanksgiving traveling, and hopefully people are listening in their car in Austin. Maybe they have gridlock, but there's certainly gridlock in New York City today.
Well, if they miss it on the car, they'll be able to get it on the podcast. That's the important part that we need to do.
Yes.
Hey, I need to sidetrack you for just a second.
Yeah.
Can you do me a favor and choose a number between 2 and 54 before you continue your last statement?
And say it out loud?
Yeah.
Yes.
Number 3.
Oh, okay.
Do we just do 3?
I don't know. We'll find out. Anyway, so we'll get to that in a second. I just needed the number. So that's cool. You started out as a performer? Is that so? When did you get the theater thing?
Yeah, my theater background comes from my mom owned a dancing school in Homeville, New Jersey, down on the shore for 35 years. So I grew up in a big theater household. My mom was obsessed with Shirley Temple, and she's obsessed with Broadway and Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire. So I watched all those movies growing up.
Who's your mom? Can we give her a shout out?
Yeah, my mom, Lynn Sheps.
Lynn Sheps. But now she spells it differently, doesn't she? Or didn't you email me and say you're actually S-H-E-P-S?
Oh, you know what? Because obviously it's my dad's side of the family, but there's different relatives. My mom spells it the same way I spell it. I'm her kin. But the family, other cousins of mine have spelled it differently.
So oh, okay.
I'm not entirely sure why they spell things differently, but anyway.
Well, I'll have you as a guest on my other radio show, Genealogy Today, and we'll figure that out.
Yeah, that would be fun. I forgot what we were talking about already.
I was talking about your background.
Theater and journalism
at the same time.
Right. So I grew up dancing my whole life, being in theater, being in shows, doing community theater, doing theater in college. I minored in musical theater at Montclair State University in New Jersey, and majored in broadcasting. So that's where my news background kicked in. So I had a big internship at Fox News in New York City for 2 semesters and got my first job right at a college as a news reporter. So that's, and my passion is still Broadway and still theater. I absolutely love it. So to be the features contributor doing Broadway features for Entertainment Tonight online, ET Online, it's a dream to be able to do this.
And you've talked to some great people. Christian Borle, Seth Rudetsky. Seth Rudetsky is who's going to be here in Austin this week.
He was just here last
week.
Oh,
we just missed him.
Yep.
Darn it.
He was here last Wednesday.
So
he's great.
Who?
He's amazing.
He is amazing.
His show is so funny. Very nice.
Actually, before we get on to like the highlights, let's see what number 3 is, shall we? You ready?
Yes, let's
see. Yeah. Nodding doesn't work on the radio,
yes,
Nicole.
Let's see,
here we go.
Hello, I'm Leroy Reams, and you are listening to Offstage and On the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM.
Hello.
Oh, yes, I know that Kara would love to be here. She, you know, I closed my last...
Okay, we have to stop this right now because it goes on forever.
It's the Lillian Montevecchi, Kay Ballard.
Yeah, we had Lillian Montevecchi, Kay Ballard, and Leroy Reams on the show, and we had them do a legal ID, and they went a little crazy. You still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
She's like,
that was for your benefit. And actually, we played that last week.
I thought, for some reason, I'm like, I think we chose three last week, just randomly. Yeah, we're never,
which is odd.
There.
We're never at that part of the dial. So tell us about some of your favorite interviews.
Oh, my gosh. I've done a bunch of, you know what? What I did recently was one of my favorite interviews is I interviewed all the major players to... who put on The Lion King on Broadway. It just celebrated its 20th anniversary, and I had the opportunity to interview Julie Taymor, who directed the show.
Oh, darn it! Did you talk to her? I'm sorry. Did you get to talk to her at all about her just recent experience back on Broadway?
Oh, about M. Butterfly or,
yeah,
or Spider-Man?
M. Butterfly. Oh, no, Spider-Man.
No, I did not. This feature was just on The Lion King, okay. So I wanted to stick to that. So I can't really discuss.
Love me some Julie Taymor.
Yeah, so she was great. I also got to interview a woman who was in the show all 20 years that it's been on Broadway. She has never left. She's been in the company since they went out of town in Minneapolis. And her story is just incredible because she really, as the show says, lives in you. Is that that's one of the lines mm-hmm. in The Lion King.
It is.
And she lives and breathes The Lion King, and just her spirit and how much this show means to her is incredible. And she's originally from South Africa, so this show has given her an amazing opportunity the last 20 years.
Wow.
So that was like a wonderful piece that I put together for ET Online. It was such a great story, and I'm super proud of it. Who else have I interviewed recently? I can't even think the list goes on and on.
So you sent out a tweet that said something that there was going to be, you were going to talk about some surprise person, and I don't know who it was. Was it Bernadette Peters?
I don't know. It probably was something about Bernadette Peters because it's no secret. It's no secret. Leah Michele has her thing with Barbara Streisand. I have my thing with Bernadette Peters.
Good for you.
I was like, it's not a bad choice. Hello, she's kind of everything.
When we were talking about her going into Hello, Dolly, it's like I would almost rather see
absolutely.
Her than Bette.
Oh, they were all incredible. I saw Bette Midler. She was wonderful. I saw Donna Murphy. That's another amazing.
And that was my choice. I was like, I love me some Bette Midler, but I'm like, we're talking Broadway royalty. It's Donna Murphy.
Yep.
Like, she is incredible. Oh. She is such a doll, pun intended. I interviewed her about the role. I was the only one who got this interview with Donna Murphy back in January at Broadway Con in New York City.
Wow.
I sat one-on-one with her, and she just spoke from her heart about the importance of playing this role and how difficult it was going to be for her to go back on Broadway because she just lost her husband, Sean, and in Hello, Dolly, the main character, Dolly Levi, is a widow.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a lot of internal connection to the character. And at first, she wasn't sure if she wanted to do the role, but then she ultimately decided to do it. And everyone in the room who was listening in on this interview, everyone was crying at the end because it was just so emotional. And her emotions were raw to me in the interview. But she was finally, when I got to see her in the part, she was absolutely amazing. I went backstage to see her afterwards. She's just one of the nicest people I have ever met on Broadway, and that was certainly one of my favorite interviews I've ever done.
What a wonderful story! That sounds awesome. So, what's the long term plan for you, Lee? Do you want to do hard hitting news, or are you looking more towards Broadway?
Well, you know, right now I'm really content. I'm doing it all. I do my full time job with Inside Edition, and I turn the hard news, I turn the light stories, the features. And then home at night, I go home and I'm doing, you know, all these Broadway interviews. What do they call it? Your side? What are they?
A side hustle.
Side hustle.
Yeah.
A side hustle. So
well,
right
you did some.
My side hustle.
I had some fun. Folks can go onto your website, which is leesheps.com. Is that right?
That's right.
Some wonderful videos. I particularly like the one you did at Broadway Con, the first year of Broadway Con, where you got people to name the next musical, which is typically most everybody was Trump the Musical.
Oh my gosh. Yes.
And they
had
them singing. It was so much fun.
That's on my YouTube page if you're looking for it. I guess, and my website. And I also have my own YouTube channel, Up With The Curtain, and that is a lot of Broadway interviews as well. I have the Seth Rudetsky's interview on there, John Rua, who I believe is in SpongeBob right now on Broadway. I interviewed him last year. and a whole bunch of Bebe Neuwirth. There's an interview with Bebe Neuwirth, William Ivy Long, Patina Miller. So I've got some great pieces up there.
Awesome. Well, we're right out of time. I'm just so happy to talk to you. When are you going to come to Austin for a family reunion?
I know. Well, you know what? My husband is going to Austin for a bachelor party, but I wasn't invited. So maybe he'll have.
Well,
to
you can come and hang out with us.
Yeah, that would be so fun. This is fun. Have me on again.
Yeah, we would love to. You can just keep in touch. We'll get you back on.
Sounds good. Thanks, Lisa.
Thank you so much for joining us.
And Nicole, thanks.
Thank you.
Bye bye.
Bye.
Well, that was Lee Sheps, and you can find more information about her at leesheps.com. And she's Twitter and Instagram and all those crazy things.
Well, we can link it all. She's
how charming
awesome.
Was she?
I love her.
That was so much fun.
Another Jersey girl. It's always that.
Jersey
nice
girl.
To Jersey to the moon.
All right. So we're going to take a quick little break. And I didn't quite know what to play for her. I was like looking for like media mogul songs on Broadway. But I just thought I'd stick with the fact that, you know, we have similar names. Patty, Patty, oh, Patty. So, let's talk a little local junk.
Local
schmoco. Local schmoco. So I had the pleasure
lots of locals
of going to see next week's guests do a rehearsal of their show at UT.
And how was that?
It was good.
I'm a little sad I didn't get to
go. I'm sorry you didn't get to go either. So I went to see a rehearsal in the rehearsal room, and it has been a long time since I've seen a rehearsal like that, and it felt so good. So
this is Drowsy Chaperone?
Yeah. Yes. To give folks an idea what I saw, this is not a rehearsal in the theater on the set. This is in a big room, and you sit on folding chairs. The set is tape marks on a stage. The props are rehearsal props. The scenic is like tables and chairs. The stage manager is calling out all the like the things that are happening. All the sound effects and things are just the stage manager going, telephone rings.
Ring.
So it was really great to be in that environment again. So I thank Nick Mayo for allowing me to come and see that. The show is just so wonderful, The Drowsy Chaperone.
Yeah.
It's so much fun. And the man in the chair, everybody's students except for the man in the chair, who's played by Scott Shipman, who does just a great job. He does a Scott Shipman job.
I like that terminology.
But here's the little soapbox I'm going to jump up on.
Jump up on it.
All right. So The Drowsy Chaperone is the last production of UT's musical theater program.
Correct.
They are canceling that program. And that makes me angry.
Yeah,
and
I know.
Here is why. And it didn't coalesce to me until last night. And it's before the rehearsal started and I'm watching everybody work. To make it on Broadway, really, the best thing you can do is be a triple threat. Mm-hmm. It's period triple threat. There are a handful of people that make it as like strictly actors. But most of the time, you have to be an A number one singer, dancer, and actor to get there. And these are the programs that massage those muscles.
Yes.
And exercise those muscles and get them to happen. Otherwise, you can do things like I did, which was focus on one thing, which then really limits my chances if I want to make a career out of it. So why they would get rid of it is beyond me. And these kids had so much passion. I just loved watching them.
I know. I don't know why.
I'm sure it's money.
Did it all.
I'm sure it's money.
But that just seems ridiculous because we're talking about UT, one of the richest schools. And I know it's all about the football, but it still is, hands down, one of the richest universities
depends
in
on
the
what
United
department
States.
You're in, yeah.
That's true. Yeah, the football.
But maybe it'll
football
come
money.
Back. Lisa, we'll tell them to bring it back.
Well, I think we should. As a matter of fact, the head of the department was there at the rehearsal, and I mentioned that to Nick, and he said, you need to tell him. And yeah. He was on our show just a couple weeks ago.
He was on Grant Pope.
Yeah, Grant Pope. He was there taking notes.
No, he's doing his best, and I think that it could happen, meaning it could come back in the future, I bet.
Well, am I wrong that that's an important part of training?
When
for
I taught at UT acting, I'd say to students, how many people were the lead in your high school musical? Everybody.
Yeah.
Because that's how you get into there. So I'm sure it's just, I hope, a temporary thing.
Well, and I'm hoping it's not some sense of erudite elitism.
Oh, I think it's more probably about film. They have a program in LA now, so I'm sure it's more about
Film?
Yes, film.
Meaning that taking more of the, as opposed
that's
to...
That's where they think the kids are going to make their living.
Oh, okay. So
that's
we're going to train actors to be... But see, those are also two different
disciplines.
It's like
they're two different mediums.
Oh, I mean, and that's the other thing I need to say.
Don't get off that box yet, Lisa.
No, this is a good thing. The other thing that we talk about on this show a lot is the current... A lot of actors coming up don't project.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes, by... Relying on amplification.
These
all the
time. Kids in this rehearsal room, of course, it was a piano, and that piano player was not toning down. It was loud. They were, with the exception of only one person, mm-hmm. The leads were rising over the chorus mm-hmm. and the piano.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
It might not work over a full orchestra in a large hall, mm-hmm. but certainly in that room it did. Kudos
That's
to them,
great.
And I
That's
hope
great.
They just continue that work, and I hope they revive this program.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anything else you want to do locally before we jump into today in theater history?
Today in theater history. Now jump into it.
Oh, you know what?
What?
It just dawned on me that on all of my papers, which the script was, that one didn't make it either.
So we don't have
So I'm going to go by memory, but I do.
Oh,
I will tell you this.
I can tell you. Okay, go ahead.
In the birthday section, locally, Ann Ciccolella's birthday showed up.
Oh, very kind. Thank you.
And in Good Company, oh my God, who else was it? Somebody you know is also birthday today, locally.
Hmm.
I can't remember.
That person should have another happy birthday.
That woman is having a birthday today.
Yes.
Was it a woman?
I don't know, but this is a callback to last week where I couldn't remember somebody's name and I meant to look it up and I still don't know her
She's
name.
She's still just that lady right
do
now.
Do you watch Theater Talk on PBS?
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
Who's the woman that hosts it?
Oh, I have no idea.
See,
I can see her.
Exactly. I can see her too.
Exactly, you can see it, but yeah.
I call her that woman. That girl. I know that one of the things was, this was the... opening of Man of La Mancha today. That was on there. I don't remember.
There was some other. I know in this past week was the history Sideshow originally.
Yeah.
But that was this past week.
There you go. That doesn't count. It's not today.
I know.
Well I just am a terrible host.
Well, I mean, I can pull up today in theater history
if you want. Nope, we are going to... will give us more time to talk to our guests. So let's take a break, and we'll listen to a little bit of Man of La Mancha, because that's the one I remember.
Oh, there you go.
Hail night!
We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro. Mr. Nick Mayo was not able to make it. He is a hardest working person in show business.
He is.
His husband, Michael, was there last night, too. It was nice to see him.
I love that, Michael.
Yeah, me too. We're
Recently made his feature on The Great Appearance. Great performances
as well. So speaking of Michael, and I did talk to him about doing one of our roundtables.
Oh, he is going to come.
Around,
did he say yes?
Yes, he did say yes. So we're going to look at scheduling that probably around the first of the year. We'll do a PR roundtable with him and some other PR folks.
Michael Hartman.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
So that is good. So we just had a lovely interview with Lee Sheps, who shares my initials. I should have asked what her middle name is.
Yeah.
If it's Rebecca, we'd have the same.
Well, I mean, her mom is the same initials, too, which made it even better. Isn't her mom Linda Sheps? Or
Something like that.
Was it Linda? Because
Lydia.
I have a cousin
or
name.
Or Lydia.
Lydia, Lydia, the encyclopedia, Lydia, the tattooed lady. Okay, there you go. So let's switch gears and talk about Austin Shakespeare. Much ado about noting. So we have here the artistic director of Austin Shakespeare and the director of this piece. And Ciccolella.
Thank you for having us.
And we have Karina Browning. Karina, who do you play in Much Ado About Nothing?
I play Hero.
Hero.
Not the hero, but her name
Just
is...
Just Hero.
Hero. Her name is Hero. I had a friend in high school named Hero.
Really?
H-I-R-O.
Oh.
It was short for Hirokazu.
I was about to say it's Japanese.
He's Japanese.
Awesome. Hirohito.
So you're doing Much Ado About Nothing, which is already opened, right? Yes?
Yes, last week.
Okay, so tell us about the show.
Well, this is week two, so we're going to be on tonight and we're going to be on Friday night. And it's like a whipped cream cake. It's just lovely.
I kind of love that description.
But you know, it's all white. Yeah. So we're using two interlocking psychs and curves. And one is from Michael McKelvey. Thank you, Michael McKelvey. And one is from the Long Center itself. So, you know, when you're working on being creative in theater, you've got to figure out, what do I have that's inexpensive? I was going to say cheap. But Patrick Anthony did the set, and he's really made a different world in there. Oh, so you great. Go in there, and you're like, wow, it's a big white place.
So is it three-quarter psych? Like three?
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah, but interlocking, two of them.
Right.
So they're interlocking. So it's a lot of fun. And we have some music, which we brought you today.
Great. Well, you know, there's a musical version of it as well. Did you know that?
I don't
performed
think I
in
knew
London.
That
we'll hear a little bit of it in a little while.
Really?
I think we may have played a song or two from it before.
Really? We may have.
Yes.
Tell folks, either of you, sure, a little bit about the plot if they don't know it
well,
already.
Well, I'll say a little bit about Beatrice and Benedict, and you say a little about Hero and Claudio. Is that okay? So Beatrice and Benedict are characters that Shakespeare invented. You know, Shakespeare used a lot of stories from other people, but Beatrice and Benedict he created, and they're a little bit a development of Kate and Petruchio in Taming of the Shrew.
Uh-huh.
So they're lovers who fight all the time, and of course they get together eventually, but Moonlighting and Spencer Tracy and Katharine Hepburn, all of those sort of couples that fight are spinoffs of Shakespeare's Beatrice and Benedict. But honestly, the main story plot revolves around a Carina's character.
Yeah, so Hero is a young woman just living her best life, and she falls in love with Claudio, who has come back from war, and he's a well-decorated soldier, and they fall in love. But then conflict arises because it's Shakespeare, and Claudio is tricked into thinking that Hero has been unfaithful to him. So on the big day of their wedding, he shames her. Spoiler alert. I mean, it's 500 years old, but spoiler alert. He shames her in front of the whole church, and even her father says, you know, leave her to die.
So her reputation is ruined by gossip.
Yes. So gossip kind of destroys everything. And that's, I think, also what kickstarts Beatrice and Benedict's relationship into coming to fruition, because they have this sort of unifying
reason to get together,
problem to figure out.
So we're doing all sorts of different period stuff in it. We have Belle Époque costumes, turn of the century, of the 19th to the 20th century. We have some bossa nova dancing.
Oh.
And Greg Bolin from Texas State has written us a new musical version of Shakespeare's song called Sigh No More, Ladies. And we brought that for you.
Oh, awesome. So that's what we're going to hear right now. So we're going to hear Carina Browning sing a little piece of that. Can you hear okay in your headphones? Because that's where you're going to get your music.
I think so.
Are you ready? So, okay, let's hear a little bit of the music from Austin Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing, sung by Carina Browning.
Sigh no more, ladies. Deceivers ever, the fraud of men was ever so, since summer first was leafy, then sigh not so, but let them go, and be you blithe and bonny, converting all your sounds of woe into
That's where we're stopping.
That was fun.
Interestingly enough, we are going to hear this same song a little later.
Wow, you're kidding.
That's the one?
That is the one.
That's hilarious.
Well, it is the song that Shakespeare has in the play. And Carina actually in the show is backstage singing this behind the psych with a mic.
Yes.
And there are three other people singing harmony in the front. So thank you for tackling that, because it's such hard music. And, you know, we know it from all these different voices singing harmony. So thanks so much for plunging in.
Yeah, he's written some really exciting dissonant harmonies in there as well. You can hear them resolving throughout the piece. And so it really requires all four of us. But it was kind of cool to hear my part alone for one.
Yeah.
Well, it sounded good in from this angle.
Yes, it did too.
I was making harmonies in my mind.
Oh, good.
So do you use the psych for projections, or is it just
no.
lighting?
No. It's for lighting, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We do staged readings and stuff that we use projections for, but no projections.
No projections.
So it's all in your imagination.
That's very good. How very theatrical of you. That was one of the things that I was thinking about when we were talking about Mean Girls. They use the LED walls. They and according to the... reviews very well. They show everything, but in a lot of that, with a lot of the use of projections, which has become so ubiquitous, we lose a little bit of that. The credit we give the audience to fill in the
blank.
Well,
especially in Shakespeare, you know, he used really no scenery. He had that stage that we think
of as
the
globe stage.
But he
did use projections. He had video.
Oh, yeah. For sure.
But Patrick's done a great job. And I just want to do a shout out to Gwen Kelso and Mark Puhey, who are doing Beatrice and Benedict. And they have done Kate and Petruchio for us. So it's kind of fun to see their relationship developing.
Oh, right? Yeah. That's great. And Mark has been doing a lot of work with you guys. And we love Mark Puhey. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and he'll be back as Sir John Falstaff, or we're calling him Mr. John Falstaff, in the Merry Wives of Windsor, Texas. You getting my Texas accent? In the summer. He'll be in our park show in the May.
So are you insinuating that this is going to be a contemporary version, and so we're using Mr. instead of Sir?
It will be a mid-20th century version. Let's put it that way.
On MTV, we call that.
I was about to say, I was trying to do the initials and beat you, and MTV, I failed that round.
you could never fail. So who else is, what are some of the other players involved in the show?
Well, Karina's love interest is Joey Banks, who, you know, like, I don't know, 7 years ago was our Lysander in Midsummer, and he went off to grad school and came back, and he's this wonderful Shakespeare actor now, so it's great to see people, you know, go from their 20s to 30s and grow up and change, you know, and develop. It's kind of thrilling.
Okay, cool. And in the scenic you said who's doing that, and did the person that did the arrangements of Sigh No More.
Yeah.
Did he also do the other pieces of music?
No, Bill Meadows did the rest of the music and sound effects, and he's kind of wonderful. He does a lot with Blue Lapis.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's pretty great.
Like,
and we have some very silly comedians led by the crazy Toby Miner, in some review got a shout out about his mustache, which he has made very red. Mm-hmm.
I see. Well, red mustaches are coming back.
Mustaches. You know, it's all the way down, like the Fu Manchu.
Yeah, he's got a Fu Manchu.
Oh, Fu Manchu. Pretty. That's good. That was very big in Shakespeare's day.
I love it.
And great costumes from Ben Taylor Ridgway and Jennifer Davis are working on them. So they're working hard out there, Lisa. We hope you'll come
Lovely.
And see
it. Lovely. I wouldn't miss it.
Oh, great.
So you've got 2 more weeks?
Yeah, so we do Thanksgiving weekend, and then we close on December 3rd. So Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday of
So you do have a show on Thanksgiving
we
evening?
Don't. We
you
have
do not.
Tonight.
Okay.
Not tomorrow, but then Friday is our big...
Back on Friday.
Yeah. Well, awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show, and very, very happy birthday to you.
Well, thank you. I have 2 quick plugs.
Plug.
So I'm going to New York next weekend.
What are you seeing?
To see Franchelle Stewart-Dorn, our queen.
That's right. She's in New York.
And she's
That's
doing
right.
20th Century Blues, a 4-woman play, all the women over 60.
Oh, my.
Polly Draper is in it. It's at Signature Theater in New York.
You were telling me about this...
And I'll also go see, get this, you know, I'm an Ayn Rand fan.
Yes, you are.
There's a version of The Fountainhead that's been touring the world, Beijing and all that.
Is it in New York right
now? It's coming to BAM, Brooklyn Academy of Music, next Tuesday. It is a 4-hour production of The Fountainhead in Dutch.
Oh, my God.
With subtitles.
Better you than me.
Get ready, baby.
Oh, my Lord. Are you going to see anything on Broadway?
That's it? No, that's what I'm going to see those two, and I'll be back.
Okay, because I have these 2 tickets to Hamilton that I just give to you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
By the way, well, in the New York Times...
You really mime the tickets. You were giving them to her.
Well, in case
that
of people watching
fabulous.
On the
webcam. Fabulous.
So let me officially say goodbye to you for Austin Shakespeare. Okay. We're going to wrap up with a few more minutes to chit-chat about other things. Sure. But I do want to make sure everybody knows...
The information.
The information, and that is Austin Shakespeare's Much Ado About Nothing, through December 3rd at the Long Center on the Rollins stage. For more information, austinshakespeare.org. And I should say we were talking with Ann Ciccolella and Karina Browning. We will be right back so we can hear a little bit more of Sigh No More. Sigh No
More. Do you know what I watched this weekend? And I haven't watched it in a long time, and it made me giggle and think of you. Was I watched Hamlet 2. God, I forgot how great that is. Rock me, sexy Jesus.
Yep. So in our... in our last few minutes, tomorrow is Thanksgiving, so we have to do our what are we thankful for? And I'm thankful for my Austin Theater family and the support that we've been given around. And I'm thankful that we're going to have a big old turkey at the theater on Thursday to eat with folks that don't have a place to go.
Yes.
Or want to add our place in their repertoire. What about you? What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful for my peeps, my family.
You got a good family.
I do have a good family.
Shout out to Liz and Casey.
Oh my God, my mom had, Liz had me in stitches this morning. She's coming to town soon. I'm thankful that I get to spend time with her. She'll be here for a whole week, which is a lot for Liz.
Yay.
And we get to go to football together.
Well, that's awesome.
Just exciting. I know. We're going to, I am thankful that I have a hibachi and we are going to hibachi in the tailgate in the parking lot.
I will say the same Benihana thing to you style. As I said to Ann Chiclella.
With your relatives.
Better you than me. Ann Chiclella, what are you thankful for?
Oh, I'm thankful to be doing theater in my life. You know, I started when I was 15 and I thought, I never thought I'd spend my life making a living in the theater. So I'm so grateful to everybody who makes it happen and helps support it.
Awesome. And I should tell everybody that you're wearing a great t-shirt. It says just the word pause on it. And it is a tribute to Harold Pinter.
It's great. I love know. That. Yeah.
Yeah. And Karina, what are you thankful for?
Well, I'm thankful for my friends and my work in the theater and in art overall and my family.
Awesome. Well, I hope everybody has a really great Thanksgiving. Remember to like us on Facebook, tweet us on Twitter, all that stuff.
This is the first year we didn't, and we're not going to, but this is the first year we didn't talk about all the performances at the parade and elsewhere.
Yeah,
so you know what, folks? I'm sorry, but they'll be happening.
Dear Evan Hansen will be there. I'll tell you that. So
there's no King Kong. So, you know, we'll wait till next year.
Austin Modern News is next. Stick around if you're listening on the podcast for Backstage at Offstage. In the meantime, we'll see you after Thanksgiving and when we look at what's happening offstage and on the air.
Right? Ciao.
Ciao, Alessio. The curtain has just come down on Flemmy, the musical. The story of a hapless young woman who can't seem to rid herself of that extra little piece of phlegm in the bottom of her throat. We're not expecting it to do well on Broadway.
Don't forget about the side plot of the little tree misunderstood, always thought to be the cedar, but really a juniper.
That's right. Happy Juniper Day, everybody. Well, we're having one of our favorite backstage at offstage moments here, where we have just one person.
Wow, we go undercover.
So we're able to get a little bit more in depth now, which is great. So we have stepped out from the backstage. We're down the stairs, sitting next to the dumpsters. Our feet are like precariously propped in puddles of unnamed liquid. But we're happy because we just finished our show, Phlegm, the musical.
I feel more complete when my feet are in puddles of unnamed liquid behind the dumpsters.
Who doesn't like that? You know, as the theater, so when I describe this, I actually describe the backstage at Ground Floor Theater, which is next to the dumpsters. But as they're cleaning up the development, it's getting less and less dumpstery and much more clean.
I was just thinking you're going to have to redo your award-winning video, but you know what that means?
Oh, I just did.
It means that you'll have to be eligible for another award. You could be multiple award-winning video.
I call it actually an award-worthy video because it actually hasn't won anything except in my own
mind. You won
in
my heart.
Well, okay, standing here with us best. It's true.
Both. It's us at the dumpster.
It's really just Nicole and I here backstage. But Karina Browning is here with us.
Hi there.
Karina. Welcome backstage.
Thank you.
And welcome on stage, too, because that was your first showing on our theater, correct?
That was my debut.
That's great. But we spoke about you last week.
Yeah.
On air.
We did. And we spoke about you in here, in this room,
And
actually.
We spoke about you, I think both.
I believe your other half is sitting right in that spot we spoke
like
about you.
I believe so. But I also believe we spoke about her in the
we did,
broadcast
the whole time.
As well.
Yeah,
it was really basically a show about you.
There was a lot of Karina last week. Yeah.
So let's get a little, let's find out who is Karina Browning. Where did you grow up?
I grew up on a ranch outside the small town of Channing, Texas.
Channing, Texas.
Where is got about, Channing, Texas? I'm pretty good with my small towns in that.
It's about an hour north of Amarillo, and it's got about 350 people in it.
Wait
wow.
a second. An hour north of Amarillo is Oklahoma.
No.
Oh, not Oklahoma. What's about, yeah.
I mean, we're very close to Oklahoma, but not Oklahoma.
Oh, okay.
Wow,
so you're in the panhandle.
Yep, up in the panhandle. So I grew up on a ranch. I was essentially feral, ran around naked a lot as a child, just living my life.
I do that right now here in Austin.
Like, this would be freeing to know, be connected to the earth like that.
It really, I loved it.
Were you a cattle ranch?
My dad is one of the few remaining Golden Age cowboys, still manages a ranch up there today, goes horseback. So I spent a lot of time branding cattle.
Did you
badass ranch chick?
Did you do that rubber band thing with the little male cows that?
No, that we did something that seems more
that
on
that.
Yeah. We actually just cut it and pulled out the balls, and you know,
that's the way.
Sorry,
you can.
No, you can.
This
is the interweb. You're totally okay.
But that's
here.
How you actually castrate an
well,
animal.
No, actually,
like a
the rubber band method is actually more painful.
I would think so. That's gotta be awful. But that's the one I witnessed that
did
with
he?
My own eyes.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, no,
so a friend of mine growing up had a ranch, and we went there, and it was castration day.
I don't think
the
vet would like
they
that.
Put these bulls in one of those little cave. I don't know. I'm sure there's
the
a name
trough
for it.
They put
and then
yeah.
they push the walls in,
yeah.
and then somebody comes in with this thing that looks like an upside down plier,
right.
and with a rubber band, and then it goes zink, and the cow goes, "What the hell are you
yeah,
doing?"
Yeah, I was about to say, would you be happy
we
with
actually,
that?
We did it the old fashioned way, where somebody comes in on a horse and ropes, and then you flank them, put them on the ground, and hold them
yeah.
down as all this happens. So
I've done
we,
that.
Yeah, have you?
No, of course not.
You can
yeah,
catch
so,
Lisa weekly
out at the cattle branding.
I would do it now. Have you? This is completely off theater topic, but I've talked about this with other people in terms of we've gotten so far away from our food production that we
sure.
really don't know. We think that beef comes from little styrofoam
little
containers.
Package, yeah.
Have you slaughtered and dressed your own food before?
Yes, but it was a rattlesnake.
Oh, well, that worked. But I think there's something to be said. If you're a meat eater like I am, it's almost a responsible thing to do that at least once, so you get a little bit more connected with where your food
well,
comes
certainly,
from.
Well, certainly, living on a ranch as well, you not only are responsible for taking care of the animals, but I've literally brought animals into the world. I've helped goats give birth, and to watch them go through the process of mating, kind of the husbandry. And knowing what their life is like and what your food is before you eat it.
Did you do goat yoga back before it was popular?
You know, they did jump on me, but it was more to knock me down. It wasn't as much yoga as it was sort of an organized goat attack.
So here you are. You're naked on the ranch.
Yeah.
You're castrating bulls.
Yes.
And at one point you said to yourself, I want to be in theater.
So my high school theater program was really incredible. I had two amazing... amazing teachers. Actually, they were the parents of Elizabeth Davis Jordan, who was nominated for a Tony for playing In Once on Broadway.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And so they're just really incredible people. And I don't know how I came into it.
Katrina
I was always...
Link. I'm sorry. I've got to stop you. It's Katrina Link.
Is the name that you
because I think
not
she was also
able...
In Once, wasn't
oh, really?
She?
You know what? She. I'm gonna.
Anyway,
yeah.
Katrina. I'm sorry.
No,
just had to go
okay.
back.
I'm
Katrina
happy to
Link
help.
Played the lead in Indecent, and she plays the lead in. The band's visit. So
okay, yes. Yeah. So anyway, the Davises, great people. And I'd always been a bit of a know-it-all, wanted to be in the center of attention. So theater just seemed pretty interesting to me. But I don't recall a moment being like theater.
I'm trying
that's
to go back
to.
So what was the name of the town again? Carson.
Channing.
Channing, Texas.
Yes.
An hour north of Amarillo.
Mm-hmm.
Has a good theater department in their high school.
It did. I know that's hard to believe, but it's simply because the educators were so passionate and so dedicated, and they taught us all the building blocks of how to make your character. They started trying to break us of our tiny little Texas accents, and they instilled in us, especially like in the one-act play competitions, they instilled in us a professionalism that I don't see a lot of people coming out of colleges have. So
right.
we just had really dedicated educators, and that made all the difference.
What were there a lot of students that were in the program?
No.
well, see, that's where I would. And
like,
therein lies the whole
like,
question.
Well, yes, she was in Once.
Okay.
So I had to know.
We're just going to keep going back.
No, I'm happy.
And
I'm
I should
glad
say,
I
if people, as I was Googling it, I was like, oh, most people wouldn't. It's Lenk, L-E-N-K, if you're looking it up.
Right.
True. So
okay.
It's not Link. It's
Link. I mean, but I knew that. And I was typing. I'm like, you know, we should let the listeners know.
Sure.
Should they want to
what
know
we're
who is
about,
Katrina
right.
with this band's visit and Indecent and Once. And
all right. So back to Carson.
Yeah.
It's going to be
no,
Carson for me.
Yeah,
whatever.
Carson. That sounds good.
Channing.
So I think if you think about the size of the school overall, which was K through 12, 150 people, the fact that we
total,
would, total
oh you guys
K
did
12,
the whole school you never left
in one building.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You were like Little House, and you're like Laura.
That's
Ingalls.
How they do
I
it
really
in Alaska.
Was.
So
there were at times, you know, there would be maybe one year there would be five people in the program, and the next year there would be 10.
So you didn't do full production?
We did the one act play competition here that culminates really? Here at UT. We were a part of that. We were District 1A or something, very, very small. But we did full productions every year. We tackled stuff like Flowers for Algernon and JB, which is an adaptation of Job. And just stuff like that. So awesome. We did full productions. Well, full, but they had to be cut down to the 40-minute timeline.
Now, did you go to college to study theater?
I did. I ended up going to college, and I got my BA in theater.
At what college?
Wayland Baptist University.
Where's that?
Now, I've actually heard of that.
Where is it?
And again, another small program with an incredible
I'm trying
teacher.
To remember whether, is that the one that that Nathan Jerkins went to, or is it's another one that sounds
This one's in Plainview, Texas.
No,
it's
a different one.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, that's okay. It's in Plainview. It's about... it's a little bit outside of Amarillo as well, so it didn't stray very far.
I know where Plainview is.
Yeah, and it's very literal. It's a plain view. It's very panhandle, very small. But again, I think a dedicated educators who were very passionate and professional made all the difference, and I got
and
a great education
did you,
there.
When did you make the trek to Austin, Texas?
Just a couple years ago, actually. I got out of grad school and needed a place to go before sort of maybe branching out into the bigger cities that everyone strives to go to.
So did you
like
go
New
to
York.
Master's school at Plainview as well?
No, I went to another small town, Canyon, Texas, to
made
West Texas A&M University.
In master's school.
It's Canyon, Texas. That's not Canyon Lake.
Nope. I don't know if you've ever heard of Texas musical drama. It's this enormous outdoor show.
I was like, Lisa's worked on that. Or
no, really? Not on that one. I did the outdoor drama. It was called The Lone Star in Galveston.
Oh, okay. Right. Yeah. So there's
But
Texas.
I got very familiar with outdoor dramas.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we do that one in the Paladura Canyon every summer. And so I did that for 4 years while getting my master's in that little college town.
Cool. Yeah. Oddly enough, I moved to New York in 1977. Mm-hmm. Like so many people coming from another town, was very discouraged because I wasn't getting everything I auditioned for.
Yeah.
And I was just about to give up and leave New York. I said, I've had it. I'm done. I'm leaving.
I'm out of here.
One audition at Fordham University for this director named Dave Davis. And he was casting this show called The Lone Star. And he cast me in it. And I moved to Galveston for 6 months and the show. And saved my life. Went back to New York after that and stayed there.
Yeah. So Austin is kind of like the next step. It seemed like a great starting place after grad school, trying to figure out how real life is.
Well, you're certainly kicking ass here. Where do you think your next step is going to be? What is that ultimate city for you?
Well, ultimately, my true passion is opera. So that's what my master's is in. And so I really, obviously, New York is the logical place to go, but also Santa Fe has a fantastic opera.
I was like, there's some opera scenes.
Have you looked?
Yeah. Chicago
beautiful
also.
Cities. Yeah.
Have you looked into Austin opera?
I have. I've done some stuff with Gilbert and Sullivan Society, but I haven't yet done anything with Austin opera.
Oh, so you've done all right. So a friend of mine, Maureen McLean, has done some of the shows for Gilbert and Sullivan Society. Have you been doing, how many?
I just did it for the first time last year.
Okay, and that was Pirates?
No, that was The Gondoliers.
The Gondoliers.
Yeah, one of the more obscure Gilbert and Sullivan ones.
Well, and actually, so I'm not going to pretend to know your politics, but Gilbert and Sullivan, kind of sexist, kind of racist.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. Yeah, a lot of conversations I had coming into Austin with my good friend Rachel Steed, and she's Asian American, was talking about how do we save the Mikado.
Yeah, a friend of mine or a colleague here, KT Shore, just did.
I was like, McLean. Rachel Steed was in that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, I was about to say, we just kind of had this conversation.
Yeah,
and
so,
Rachel was in that.
Mm-hmm. So, a lot of Gilbert and Sullivan is so funny, but there's so much of it that doesn't translate, doesn't read well, or should not be supported.
Yeah, so wrong in so many ways.
And
Taming of the Shrew.
Mm-hmm. And also a lot of, I mean,
you mean like Brigadoon? The Heather on the Hill.
Even Much Ado About Nothing has a little bit of those more sexist ideas that can be a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah. So opera. So what? Two questions. Two-parter.
Okay.
What sparked? Again, I don't think of opera and Little Town in the same sentence.
Ranching.
Or ranching. And so. How did that pathway
opera?
Start?
Yeah,
and then two, what was your first opera you saw?
Okay.
You have to discover opera in the
middle
of the plains,
right? Yeah, so really hated opera. I did like little vocal competitions, and that was a lot of fun, but I couldn't stand the way that vibrato sounded, and I thought I could sing it so much prettier if I could just do it the normal way.
Right.
And I didn't understand any of it, and so I really hated it. But in college, I got into sort of a second passion of mine, which is scenic painting. I love doing that. And so I was painting the set of A Mall in the Night Visitors by Giancarlo Menotti, mm-hmm. and I watched that, and Menotti's music just broke my heart. Specifically the part where one of the kings sings about his might will not be built on our toil. And it just broke me open. And I thought, I got to be in that. Like, I have to be a part of that. And so I fought the technique for years. You could call any of my voice teachers, even up to a year ago, and they'd be like, yeah, she's terrible. But I just fell in love with the art form and how dramatic it is and how truthful it is. There's such honesty in, and I love the mechanism of, there's music written for every emotion that you have. And so, yeah, Menotti is the short answer to that one. And
yeah, you answered both questions.
The very next semester, I went to the guy who ran opera scenes, and I was like, me, put me in that. And so.
Did you sing Tu Lo Sai?
No.
Oh, no. Okay. I'm showing my opera prowess by knowing that song.
There is something magical about the opera.
Well, unless you do what I did. So my very first opera was André Chenet, which is postgraduate opera, mm-hmm. And shouldn't be anybody's first. And yeah. I ran away from it. And I wanted to. Did you see Carmen last week?
Because Much Ado is running at
the same time. I know this whole take the Carmen images is beautiful.
And they updated it in the 40s.
Yeah. Well, that's a fun thing about 70s, opera too.
70s Cuba, I think,
is that even Baroque operas, you can put them elsewhere, and they still make a lot of sense. So.
Yeah. So somebody should fix them.
It's the emotion. There's something about the emotion that you, and even with musical theater, music can touch you. It's just still, it's different.
There's something exciting about having to portray such grand emotion, but keep your technique in check. I think it's one of the most fascinating physical challenges that anyone can be a part of.
Well, that's awesome. So we're out of time. We need to leave here. But God, there's just so much I want to talk to you further about. What a fascinating life.
You have to come back to backstage.
What an interesting path.
Just hang out at the dumpster and don't leave.
Got it.
And you've certainly done really well here. Have you been doing musicals here?
My last musical was out at TexArts. I played Dotsie Mae in The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas.
I saw you in that.
Did you?
Okay. I did. I saw you in that.
Yeah.
Okay,
we had this epiphany last week when we were leaving.
Oh, right. Because your husband, boyfriend?
Boyfriend.
Was also in that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I think we had the epiphany of the whorehouse connection when we were leaving.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
That was my latest.
Well, awesome. So do you have a favorite opera? That you would want to do?
So I have a favorite opera that I've been... Can I answer with two? Is that
sure,
okay?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah,
so the favorite opera that I've been in is Carlisle Floy's Susanna.
The name of the opera is Susanna?
Susanna, yeah. Uh-huh. And it's I won't get into it, but it's a really beautiful story. It's taken from an apocryphal text about a woman who is so beautiful that the elders of her village see her and they're ashamed of their lust, so they just start telling lies about how she just seduced them. And he takes
that
the story
to me growing up.
Right. Everyone knows the feeling. he takes the story and he sets it in the Appalachian Mountains in the 50s, and it's really beautiful, and Floyd's music is gorgeous.
Awesome.
And then one that I would love to be in is Der Rosenkavalier by Strauss. I would love to play Sophie. So if anyone is out there casting for Sophie,
awesome.
I'm here.
Well, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us back here amongst the dumpsters.
Yeah, thank you guys. I love your dumpsters. These are great.
Awesome. Well, we'll see you later.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.